Hello, Earthlings from the heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. Next hour, our dear friend David Cereda joins us with spiritual experiences as we get very close to Christmas. Some great stories just ahead, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, is not part of the United States government, it's a group of banks. They've endorsed new rules that would give people taking out home mortgages new protections against shady lending practices. The proposed rules, approved by a 5-0 vote by the board, are geared to providing safeguards to riskiest subprime borrowers. The already painfully stung by the housing and credit debacles, the proposal is expected to apply to new loans made by all types of lenders, including banks and brokers. The plan would be finalized next year. Now, the Fed, which has regulatory powers over the nation's banking system, this is what they're proposing. They want to restrict lenders from penalizing certain subprime borrowers, those with tarnished credit or low incomes who pay their loans early. They want to force lenders to make sure that subprime borrowers set aside money to pay for taxes and insurance. They want to bar lenders from making loans when they don't have proof of a borrower's income, and they want to prohibit lenders from engaging in a pattern of practice of lending without considering your ability to repay a home loan. We'll see what happens. Congress, by a wide margin, has approved the first increase in automobile fuel economy in 32 years. The President Bush plans to quickly sign the legislation, accepting the mandates on the auto industry. The energy bill, boosting mileage by 40% to 35 miles a gallon, passed the House 314 to 100, now goes to the White House following the Senate's approval. The Senate has also just passed a spending bill combining funding for 14 cabinet departments and $70 billion for U.S. military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. A Chicago middle school principal has died during a root canal procedure. Georgette Watson, a 46-year-old of Skokie, Illinois. Authorities believe that Watson suffered a heart attack while in the dentist's chair. Federal health officials are investigating dozens of blood infections in at least two states that have been linked to medical syringes contaminated with bacteria. About 40 people have been sickened in Illinois and Texas, including 20 outpatients from Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. No deaths reported here. Rush doctors traced the infections earlier this month to syringes that the patients used during home treatment for cancer and other ailments. Well, NASA has apparently pinned down the apparent location of an erratic fuel tank sensor glitch that foiled two launch attempts of the space shuttle Atlantis. But what does this all mean for the launch? Richard C. Hoagland, head of EnterpriseMission.com at Dark Mission, the world-saving book on NASA, is with us. Richard, what's this all mean, my friend?
Good evening, George. Well, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is that Wayne Hale, who's the shuttle program manager, announced this afternoon that based on the test results from the whole day of cryogenic testing that NASA undertook this morning, he is now postponing the planned January 10th launch indefinitely until the eco-sensor problem is fixed. And he said specifically, if that means February 10th or March 10th, I'm not concerned. Shuttle schedules are not driving us on this problem. And that's tremendous news and relief for me, for the astronauts, the families, everybody concerned that they were rushing to try to get this Columbus module upstairs and actually shaving and cutting corners in a way they should not. On the problem itself, I'm not so sure tonight, George, it is fixed, okay? It's too long and technical to go into, but
okay.
What happened was they were measuring what they call time delay signals in the wires, and they found echoes coming from the connector, not the sensors at the bottom of the tank, but the connector that feeds through the tank into the orbiter, because you got to go through the walls of the super cold tank of liquid hydrogen to get the signals to be properly processed and understood by the orbiter computer. They got weird readings at that connection, and they're interpreting this that there's some kind of problem in the connector, which is basically, you know, metal and plastic, and it's like the multi-pin connectors you plug in your stereo or your computer or whatever.
Sure.
And under these super cold temperatures, ice in the air can literally, and we're talking minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit. So the Cape is a humid environment, right?
Right.
Even on a cold, you know, dry day.
Right.
The ice in the air freezes. It produces a sheath of non-conducting material that will basically block the signals in the pins in the connector. That's the model. The problem is they can't reproduce this in the lab. They dunk these connectors in liquid and hydrogen in the lab, and they work fine. They don't do the same thing they're doing in the tank. So I'm concerned that there's a deeper, more interesting torsion problem, the HD physics scenario that I've been writing about and talking about, and I have some potential evidence to support that. During the tanking test in what was called the TDR control room, which was the time delay reflectometer test they were doing, they had a laptop that was set up to send the signals and monitor the results. During the dry run a couple of days ago, everything worked fine. During the actual test, George, that laptop froze repeatedly, no pun intended, and they had to reboot. The same thing happened to me with a laptop when I was measuring torsion signals at Coral Castle. Remember me talking about
it? Yeah, I remember that when you were down there live for us.
Yes, yes. So I'm saying this problem is probably not over, that Wayne Hale knows something more that he wasn't willing to talk about on television this afternoon, and he was basically telling everybody, don't look for a launch on the 10th. Thank God, because we're going to take our time and really finally do it the NASA way, which is you figure it out from the ground up and you fix it and it becomes safe for the astronauts to fly.
I love it. All right, what's new with you, Richard, before we move on?
I've got a major announcement tonight. Everybody's been clamoring for copies of the Washington Press Conference, the National Press Club bash that we threw 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
We are going to have a DVD available starting tomorrow at this 800 number. If you order it for $19.50, you all know why I'm doing that, you can get before Christmas the verbatim, unedited, two-hour briefing that caused such extraordinary excitement in Russia that they sent four television networks, including one, all the way from Moscow to New Mexico to interview me and Dr. Johnson.
Oh, the Russians love you.
I'm the darling of Putin for some reason, and the media, and there's on the Enterprise website, you can see all the Russian reaction. Anyway, I've not had time because we just got this done. We've been racing to make Christmas. If you call this number, which is 1-877-345-6222, that's 1-877-345-6222, you can get the DVD before Christmas. It makes a super Christmas gift because it's the inside story of what NASA's been hiding on the moon for 40-plus years, and it is a mini version of our best-selling New York Times book, Narc Mission.
Excellent. Richard, you have a great Christmas if I don't talk to you before that.
And
you and Robin.
And you too, my friend, and to everyone in our Coast audience.
You got it. You know, officials in New York are trying to work out how a window cleaner survived a 47-story fall from a skyscraper. They believe that the 37-year-old clung on to a piece of his platform as he fell, and this thing acted as a surfboard in the air. He remains in critical condition in a hospital, but he's been able to move his arms and legs and open his eyes. I've got open lines for you right now, and one of the things we'll do is open the lines to let you talk about some amazing episodes of life and death experiences. Here are the phone numbers for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome to Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast. By the way, if you get a moment, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Look at the feature article that Lex has posted there. A little explanation about the Tunguska blast back there in the 1900s. And they think it might have been a smaller asteroid, not a real big one that they thought originally might have exploded up there in the atmosphere. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up, first of all, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Well, I don't hear him. So let us go next to
Hello?
Our west of the Rockies. Sorry, you waited too long. West of the Rockies, you're with us. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, George.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, what happened was, is I was either 8 or 9, somewhere along there, I was at the corner store, picked up a fluorescent light bulb for my dad. I was walking home. It was only like two spaces away, you know. Anyways, I'm walking home, and I dropped the fluorescent light accidentally, and the next thing I know, I hear a noise, kind of like a door, you know, shutting real fast, and then I heard... I didn't really pick up what it was, but it was footsteps, like, running. And all of a sudden, I hear another noise. I'm looking up at the top of this wooden fence, probably about 6 foot tall, maybe 5 and a half. And there's a guy with an Uzi pointing right at me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and, you know, all I could do was just freeze, you know. I was looking right at the end of it, and I could just freeze. And, you know, it was about... It seemed like it was about 5 minutes, but it must have been just a couple seconds. And the guy goes, "Oh, it's you." He goes, "I thought I heard someone trying to break into my property." And I said, "Well, thanks for not shooting me." And, you know, I kind of went home and was shaken up pretty bad about it.
Well, there's a little lucky life-saving experience for you, huh? Next up,
yeah.
Let's... All right, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Open Lines on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hello?
Hello. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hey, I was just calling to see if you've heard of Naomi Wolf. She's
yes.
an author.
Yes, sure have.
Well, she has a new book out called The End of America. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of the book. I have not read it.
Well, it's really good, and I know that you've had, like, Jerome Corsi on your show talking about the NAU. And, you know, I think it'd be really cool if you had her on, because it'd be a show kind of in the same vein as that.
Okay, we'll investigate. Tell me what you like about her. What is her approach?
Well, hold on.
Hold on, you're on air.
I've only read End of America, so I don't know about her other work, but End of America is really frightening because it shows all the... you know, the 10 steps that any government uses to shut down a free society. And she said that she had a friend who was the daughter of Holocaust survivors. And since 9/11, her friend had been saying to her, you know, they did this in Germany. They did this in Germany about things that the Bush administration were doing. And she thought that her friend was just, like, way out of line and over the top. But then she did all this research, and she started seeing that the Bush administration was literally doing all 10 things now.
Well, I tell you what, we'll call her. Naomi Wolf is her name, and we'll get the book, and I'll look it over, and we'll see if she can carry a radio interview, and we'll check her out. I'll do that for you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Season's greetings, George, from Sedona, Arizona.
Thank you, Blair.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I wanted to talk about Jesus Christ, since it's Christmas, and the Urantia book version of who Jesus Christ was.
Well, who do you think Jesus Christ was in the book of Urantia?
Well, it was a member of the Eternal Son. It was called the Michael Creators. And part of the Michael Creators' journey is to create evolutionary universes of time and space where we are planted and sort of seeded. And part of the deal for the Creator Sons, this would be known as Christ Michael, was to incarnate as his creatures to earn his own sovereignty of a local universe. And that is what Jesus Christ did. This was his last incarnation on our planet Earth about 2,000 years ago. And when he said, "It is finished, Father, all power in heaven and earth has been granted unto me," it was because he completed his incarnational cycle.
And he was done.
And he was done. And so basically, we are under his control and power, and this is one of those great free will universes where all of his sons and daughters get to exercise that free will. But of course, what are we using? What, 10% of our brain? So we have to be careful. I guess it's a prayer like, "Dear Lord, if I'm using only 10% of my brain, could I have access to 100% of my spirit?" You know what I mean?
It's very possible. So you believe this theory, huh, Blair?
Well, I'm sort of working on it in a sense. There's so many others going on. It's like, you know, many layers to an onion. And I know one of our fellow Sedona fellows, David Sarita, is going to be talking later on with you tonight.
About some of this, yes.
Yeah, he's had some great experiences, and I hope he'll talk about some of his with Jesus with you tonight, too, because he's got some pretty good insight on that.
All right, well, it's getting close to Christmas, talking about many skins of an onion. You ever get an onion, and you've got to take the skin off it, right? But by the time you properly get it done, you've cut into it so deeply that there's hardly anything left. The pieces just keep falling off. That happens to me all the time. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Bob from Pittsburgh. Hey, one time I was cleaning my car, I was washing my car, and I was had a vacuum cleaner, and I was ready to vacuum the inside of the car out, and I was standing in a puddle of water, and I was in a big rush to get the interior vacuumed. And so I just did this I don't know why I did that, out of instinct. I guess I was in a hurry, and I had the sweeper in my left hand, and in the right hand I had the extension cord the sweeper was plugged into. And for some reason, I don't know why I did it, but I stuck the sweeper cord in my mouth to disconnect the extension cord with my other hand. I know it sounds funny, but
I don't know why I'm laughing at you.
Well, listen, you'll never believe what happened. I still can't believe I lived through it. And when I yanked the two cords apart, the sweeper cord from the extension cord, and not only am I doing that, I'm standing in a puddle of water. And
exactly.
What happened was I'm standing there, and I started to be electrocuted through my mouth, and my whole body froze, and I started biting into the cord. And the first thing I thought in my mind was, I thought I penetrated this vacuum cord, and my teeth were making contact with the wire. And I thought, I'm gone. The longer this goes on that I can't break this, I'm going to die right there.
Oh, my God, what a way to go.
And I'm thinking to myself, I can very clearly think, but my whole body was being electrocuted. And my mouth, I don't know if you ever made contact with electric like that. But
no, not like that.
But my mouth started to hurt because my cheek muscles were clamping down so hard on that extension cord or the sweeper cord that I just knew I couldn't never break free from it. So what ends up happening is I end up falling on the floor because I'm standing now. As I fell on the floor, I ended up not making contact anymore. And so when I looked at what I did was I actually, when I had the extension cord plugged into the sweeper cord, when I yanked the cord apart, I actually separated the female connector from the vacuum cord.
Man, did you luck out on that one?
Well, listen what happened. The two bare wires landed on my face and started burning a hole into my
face.
And that's when I fell down, the extension cord actually came disconnected, and I was just so lucky because when I looked in the mirror, I had two holes burning into my face. But if I would have not fell down, I would have just stood there and probably just, you know, ended up dying.
Oh, you would have been literally toast.
Yeah. I had to call you when I heard you were requesting calls.
Gosh, how long do you, on something like that, how long does your body tingle?
It was at least 30 seconds that I was standing in an upright position, and that cord was on my face. Luckily, see, I thought I broke bit into the cord. I really didn't do that. I just, when I yanked the male part away from the female part, the bare wires were just exposed and landed on my face. But I just cannot believe the pain that it was clamping down so hard that I thought I was going to crush my teeth. That's how hard I was biting into that cord, I thought.
Gosh. All right. Well, we're glad you're here to tell us that story. That's what we're doing. Open lines, of course, but also life-saving and almost death experiences and episodes kind of spearheaded by that fellow in New York who fell 47 stories, and he's still alive. He held on to his surfboard. I got to tell you, in Los Angeles, where our studio is, in a northern suburb, one of my first days there back in 2003, my office at that time was overlooking Ventura Boulevard. And now that I've become so successful with the show, my office window faces the back of a parking garage. I wonder what that means. Well, anyway, I'm doing some work. It's at night. I'm prepping for the show. And kind of like at the corner of my eye, like a shadow person, I see something swoop by. I didn't think anything of it. A little bit later on, I looked down, and a woman had jumped from the top of the building. What's so fascinating and horrible about it is she grabbed the C. There was a name of the bank. She grabbed the C and broke off with it, but she didn't float like this guy did. I'll be back with more Open Lines in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Well, you know, it's December. We're into the holiday pattern and season and vacations and everything else. So just so you know, I'm going to be taking 2 vacation days. I've accumulated so much, and I only take like a quarter of my vacation time. But I'll be taking Thursday and Friday off. And we've got John B. Wells coming in for us on Thursday and Ian Punnett on Friday. And then we're going to be live. I'll be here on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So we've got live programs for you. Nothing canned on those nights for you. And then I'll go into a Christmas week, and I think Art's going to do a few of the shows and a few others. So everything will have you covered on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. And don't forget, those of you who might want to share your episodes of life-saving experiences or the moment of your almost death, if you want to check in with us. And in all of this, from that story in New York again, from the window washer who fell 47 stories, held on to a piece of his plank and kind of like floated down. God, can you, at least it slowed his fall. That's what it really did. To the phones we go. Wild Card Line, thanks for holding. It's your turn. Hi.
Hi, George. This is Dale from Medford, Oregon.
Hi, Dale. God, I love your city. I was up there about 5 years ago to see part of the staff of Coast to Coast. Man, it is gorgeous up there.
You think so? I was born and raised there, if you can believe that.
And never left.
Never left. Can't see a reason why to leave a little piece of heaven, that's for sure.
Nothing wrong with that. What's up?
No. I just wanted to talk to you about, I think it's a life-death experience. I'm a professional firefighter and always stayed in shape. And I know this is kind of a subject that's near to your heart, so to speak. And 42 years old, stayed in shape, went to the gym one day for my New Year's resolution, and had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Now, I want you, because we've got an incredible audience here of people who are very health conscious.
Yes.
Before you
yes.
finish your story, just tell us the symptoms. What was happening to you?
Okay. Well, like I said, I've been a firefighter for 23 years, had a physical every year. Never showed nothing. Angiogram, you know, the whole nine yards. So I go to the gym. I run 2 miles on the treadmill, do a half an hour of the stair stepper, and I go upstairs to do some weightlifting. And I'm bench pressing, of all things, and the symptoms come on of a squeezing in my chest. I thought I pulled a muscle in my chest.
Oh, right before that, you felt okay, right?
Yeah, felt fine.
Oh,
so
God.
I go, man, you really messed that lift up. You know, I mean, what in the world? So, but I'm not feeling like the elephant on my chest, the radiating jaw pain, you know, none of that. You know, I feel pretty good, but I just have this squeezing in my chest. So I go down, take a shower, drive all the way back home, pull into the driveway, and my fingers go numb on my hand. And I'm, man, you really pulled a muscle or a ligament or something. Walk in the house, my wife goes, you look terrible.
Oh.
And I said, well, you know, I kind of overlifted today, and I didn't eat a lot. You know, I'm just kind of overworked. And then it really hit. I got the sweatiness, shortness of breath. So she's like, we're not playing this game, and called an ambulance. And so I know 2 of the guys on the ambulance. This is how denial goes with a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they hook up the monitor meet onto me, a 12 lead is what we call it. And they say, Dale, we think you're having a heart attack. And I said, there's no way. I'm 42 years old. I'm in the best shape of my life. And they said, so they tore off the little paper, and they said, fine, read your own strip. And I go, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack.
God.
So we jump in the ambulance, and we have a wonderful cardiac care facility here. Got me in, did a cut down, ran the wire, did an angioplasty, and cleared the blockage. And I felt like I did right now. I thought, oh, I swear, Lord, I'll change my way, you know, whatever I got to do to get through this. And the doctor comes in and goes, buddy, tomorrow you're scheduled for a 5-way bypass.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. So
you got seven arteries. Five is almost the most they will ever do, I think, at any given time.
Right. So I'm like this floorboarded. You know, here's my career. Here's my family, my two kids. You know, the world has been turned upside down in an hour and a half. So, well, this gets better, sort of. So we schedule the surgery, come through the surgery. Well, through the surgery, I go into a coma. And they thought I had a stroke.
Because, now, did they stop your heart? Because sometimes they do for this kind of surgery.
Right, for a major one like that, yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I go into a coma, and my family is just, now they're just over the top. You know, they're doing CAT scans and CT scans. And
oh, my God.
Trying to figure out if I had a stroke or whatever. So 4 days later, I wake up. If you can believe, and I'm like, hi, everybody, you know, I'm fine, you know, my daughter's crying, you know, the whole nine yards, and it's like, well, what's the matter, what's going on, you've been in a coma for 4 days, you know, don't you know, and it's like, no, I had no idea, and, you know, I always hear the white light, and, all, and it was the most blackest memory that I can explain.
I guess, you know, you could call it a near-death experience, couldn't you?
Right, because, I mean, it was black, I mean, I don't remember anything other than just the deepest darkness, you know, and I don't know if that's going to the other, maybe I'm a bad guy, I'm going to the wrong side, but no, I don't remember anything, any light, any, you know, thoughts, dreams, anything for that whole.
And how are you feeling since?
I was back to full duty at the fire department in 3 months.
Good for you.
Yeah, and, I worked
You know, I'm sure you're on your pills and your cholesterol eaters and your blood pressure pills and all that stuff, right?
You bet. No, I just really want to reiterate to your fan, you know, watch your cholesterol, because mine was always borderline. You know, the 220, 230, not real high, but not great. You know, big family history, that sort of thing. And, it sure caught me off guard. 42 years old.
I'm going to post right after the first of the year on our website, what I'm taking for that, because I am obsessed with that. Because once your arteries go, and if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're history.
Yeah, yeah. And the fish oils, the flaxseed oils, the better diet, all that is just really, really critical nowadays.
I'm glad you're okay. You have a great holiday with your family.
You bet.
Yeah, and that's when I'll do that. I'm going to post on the website after the first of the year, maybe the week after I come back from vacation. That regimen that so many of you have asked me for, I'm just going to put it up there, and I'm not going to give any specific brand names. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and then you decide what you want to do. I'm not a doctor. Remember that. But I'm doing that. I will tell you that I went for one of my many tests because I do this. I'm not a hypochondriac by any means, but I just like tests. I like data. I'm like Richard Hoagland. And the doctor looked at the numbers and said, this is absolutely incredible. What are you doing? Because I was doing more than whatever he suggested. And I'm going to share that with you, at least for that part. It's your arteries and your heart and stuff like that. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there.
Hey, George. Good evening.
Hi.
Hey,
welcome to the show.
No problem. Your show has really inspired a lot of, I think, thought that you don't really get on a lot of programs. Just want to compliment you on what you do every
Thank
night.
You.
And just an example of that, the concept of a creator has always existed, like permanence, is a very paradoxical improbability, as well as the paradox of, like, you know, nothingness erupting, like, the Big Bang into existence, you know, all of matter coming from nothing. So that's a paradox.
Oh, my God. And it drives me nuts because I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Cosmologically speaking, it's some of the most interesting thought process that you can do. You know, existence seems to beg a question of who's the creator, or who created the creator, even, or is it all just transference, you know? And so if everything's very improbable and paradoxical in its logic, what if the only answer left over is, no matter how improbable, would be that everything is not real.
It's a dream.
What if we're living out a what if we're living out a dream of a thought or a computer simulation in someone else's Xbox somewhere?
What if all of us were on some person's dream? We're in his dream.
It's such interesting thinking that I think really I hope doesn't disappear from the American culture, and I think science, cosmological studies, and stuff that's on your program really helps to expand people's horizons. And I just want to say hats off and kudos to you for that.
Absolutely, you have a great holiday, and we'll move on with our first time caller line. Hello there.
Hey, how's it going, George?
It is well, thanks. Where are you calling from?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm a great fan of this radio station and what you do for people that are at home and just, you know, maybe not don't have anybody around and just love to hear the great phenomenon and all the great stories that come up on this station. I just love it.
We are all family, I'll tell you.
Big fan. Well, the main reason I'm calling, George, is because I got a real good survival story. It'll make it really quick for you, too.
All right, sure.
What happened to me is I was a child back in 1980. I was just graduating. I was kind of not, you know, kind of a young rocker into the music scene and kind of out playing for my fans and friends and, you know, and my family. And my whole family were way into music. And we used it as a positive thing, you know. We weren't like big druggies or nothing like that. We just used it as show people that you could do something with, you know, your talent and stuff like that. And what happened was I was just going to graduate and started having seizures out of nowhere. And got into the hospital, rushed into the hospital, found out that I had an AV malformation of the brain. And what that is, George, it's kind of like a tumor. But it was controlled by a blood vessel connected to my brain. And what happened when it was getting so large that it was pushing against my skull. It was unbelievable, George. I was doing so good. I was, like, great in school. I had the girls, you know, the whole rock.
Out of the blue, it just pops up like that.
Yeah, and just out of nowhere, I just started having seizures in school. And it happened on the bus one day, and they rushed me to the hospital and found out that I had this AV malformation of the brain. And I was just like, what am I going to do? I can't let this crush my life, you know. I can't give up. I got a life here. I was just feeling like I was going to getting good in school and doing good with my grades. And then all of a sudden, go have this surgery done. They take this out, survive that. You know, it was so much pain going through that. Basically had strings through my head like metal guitar strings to suture my head back together. It was unbelievable the pain I've been through, George. And I'm here to say I survived it. But what happened while I was in the hospital, I got a staph infection. There's them staph.
Yeah, that happens. That could kill you.
My skull, George. Unbelievable. I got it to my skull. Here, a young kid, long hair, having to shave his head. And here, I got a staph infection in the hospital to my skull. And I was basically, they didn't really know what to do. They basically called all the doctors in. You know, they bring all their helpers in and they scare you because they all got ghostly looks on their face. And they're, what are we going to do for this kid, you know? And basically, just for the grace of God, I pulled myself out of it. Through medicine and through positive thinking. And I tell you, I look at an honor for you to put out what you're, you know, the medicine you're taking and the things you do to keep yourself healthy, George. I tell you, it's an honor, and I'll be waiting to see what you do, you know, to keep yourself healthy, George.
You got it. Okay. You take care.
And so if I could do one last thing, George, that I could just play a little bit. I got my guitar plugged in, and I'm still here alive. And I'm in a band called the 7C in Florida.
All right. Have a way at it. Go ahead.
And
have
I'll
some
just
fun.
Play a little bit for you, George. God bless everybody that survived through anything. And
all right. Here goes.
Here we go. 7C music.
As we fade it out. Okay, good. Thanks. Almost Christmas music, but not quite. If I can talk. Wildcard Line, you're up on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, okay. Hi, George. First time caller.
Well, good.
Yeah, I have a couple of near-death experiences. Before I mention anything, maybe you could get Brother Michael Diamond back on sometime.
You know what? He has retired, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think he has retired. The last time we talked to him, I think he said, you know, he's backing off for a while. But go ahead. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Well, back when I was in the early 80s, I must have been about, I don't know, eight or nine. I was playing with a friend, went across the street, and when I was running across the street, I don't know, I was just, you know, chasing a ball or something, and then I stopped, you know, and this car's coming at me, and I think I missed it by within inches, maybe like 1 or 2 inches. I seen the front of the hood. My head was, you know, in front of the hood, and, yeah.
You would have been a pancake in the street.
Right. I mean, I've had many, but those are the two that come. That's one of the ones that comes to me. You know. Most,
Do you believe in guardian angels?
Yeah, definitely.
Might have been there that day. They may have pushed you out of the way. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mary Michael. Mary Michael. You can call me Mikey.
Okay, Mikey. What's up?
Was wondering if you could pray for Jeffrey Seelman has been on your program. He's an exorcist,
He's
a friend of mine. And he has been in and out of the hospital since Thanksgiving.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, and what's wrong
with him? Can you say?
Well, I could, but he might not like
it. It may be private. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he would tell you if you called him. But I was wondering if we could have some prayers for him. He's a very special man.
Consider it done.
Hey, thank you so much.
Okay, you see, one of people who email me, I just want you to know that every Friday, people collectively on their own say prayers for everyone. And when you call me and say, would you put so-and-so on this list, it's done the moment I open the email. And, you know, it's not a list that we run around the station with or anything like that, but it's one of consciousness. I guess it's a list of consciousness where everybody just does what they do on a Friday. They pray. You call it whatever you want. And it seems to have some remarkable benefits for some people. I mean, it's not going to cure the world, believe me. But it does seem to work. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hello there.
Yes, sir. Mr. George. This is Ted calling from Mississippi.
Hello, Ted.
I have a few near-death experiences that I would like to share with all the viewers.
Give me one, Ted, because we're almost at the clock here.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick. I used to be a taxi cab driver, and I accidentally overdosed on some Xanax. I took 20 of them.
20? Why?
I don't know. I had what's called a walking blackout, and I got into the cab. Luckily, no one got killed, and I spent 3 days in a coma, and I actually saw the white light and all that, and I saw Jesus. He talked to me. He said that if you don't settle your ways down, that you're going to go to hell. So that there pretty much straightened up my life.
Straighten you out. You got another shot at life, huh?
Yes, sir. And from that day forward, I'm going to church every Sunday, reading the Bible. And I consider myself a very devoted Christian because that woke me up.
Good for you. Whatever it takes. You know, my philosophy now at the age of 57 is to enjoy every day I can. I don't want to waste one day. No matter what I do, I want it to be the very best I can because you don't know how many you have left. And you know what? Another thing, too, is no matter how much money you make, it's always nice to save and prepare for a rainy day. But don't die with everything in the bank. What a waste is that? I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment, David Sirota joins us on Coast to Coast AM.